The psalm says these words, "The Lord has heard my weeping and my pleading. He will answer all my prayers." We really, really want to believe that, don't we? We really want to believe that, that in the face of life's dangers and dilemmas, but questions come up in every heart and every mind. Can it be? Is it really true? Does God hear us when we pray? A little boy knelt down to say his prayers one evening, and this is what he said. "Oh God, Aunt Stella isn't married yet. Uncle Herbert doesn't have a job. Daddy's hair is still falling out. I'm tired of saying prayers for this family without getting results." Yeah. Now the child put into words, though, something that many of us feel. Some stop praying. Many never start praying because they feel maybe nobody is listening. A lady in great need told me one day that she had abandoned the practice of prayer. I'll never forget what she said as she described it. She said, "It's like a telephone conversation and no one is on the other end of the line." Wherever your experience, whatever your experience of prayer, whatever my experience, it is clear that the psalmist, as he wrote the sixth psalm, is describing something quite different. We don't know the circumstances that gave expression to this psalm, but it's evident, though, that the circumstances have produced a situation of deep, deep personal need. It is, in fact, a kind of a depressing song in its entirety. It's evident that the psalmist was repentant. He had a sense of genuine sorrow for his sins, verse 1. Verse 2, he had health problems. He said, "My body is sick," verse 6. He was depressed, verse 3. He said, "My mind is filled with apprehension and gloom." He was a bit paranoid, perhaps, verse 7, because he talked about all of his enemies that were so virulent and surrounded him on every side. And yet, as the psalm comes to an end, there is this wonderful affirmation of confidence and hope. Why? Because in the face of his sin and need, in the face of all of his pain and health problems, in spite of his apprehension and depression, in the face of his enemies that make him paranoid, God has heard and answered his prayers. He says it so simply, "The Lord has heard my weeping and my pleading. He will answer all of my prayers." It was in the confidence that God hears and answers prayers that he found the strength for his life. But the question that this sermon poses is direct. Does God hear us when we pray? And the answer is yes. But reality dictates the observation that it is far easier to say that than it is to experience that yes as a reality. So note with me first that it is almost impossible to believe that it's true. I mean, all of us tend to humanize God, to think of him in terms that we can understand. It's hard to believe that God hears us when we pray because we can easily see that the demands upon God are bewildering. I know something about a demanding life. I go to bed every night with unfinished business and things laid off for the next day that have got to be done. I live every day with the stress of never finishing. And that the satisfaction of knowing that every day there is someone somewhere who needs me. But just think of the demands that come to God in prayer. A person with a sick child wants the child to be well. The parents of an estranged child wants the child to come home. A farmer wants rain for his crop. A ski lift operator the same day wants snow for the mountain slopes so the skiers can come. Another asks for rain to stop because there's a danger of flooding. A husband prays for his wife that she will be more loving. And the wife asks God that maybe you can make him a bit more understanding of her needs, and on and on and on it goes. But when you stop to think of it, the sheer demand of Christian prayer is truly astounding. The whole thing seems impossible. This was, do any of you remember the movie Bruce Almighty? It was on the TV the other day. Yeah, I had to watch it. Bruce Almighty. Bruce is a television reporter, and he thinks that God is doing a really poor job, and he tells God in no uncertain terms. Well, since Bruce thinks that he knows so much and could do such a better job for a time and only in that city, God gives Bruce all of God's power. God steps back, lets Bruce take over, and things start to go wrong right away. He discovers it's not so easy being God. And I love the part where he really messes things up. He ignores the prayers of the people. When they back up and the number of prayers go up into the millions, he's just too busy, too distracted to actually answer each and every prayer. So what does he do? He says yes to all of them. Yeah, everybody gets what they pray for, and the result is total chaos. So many prayers coming God's way. How can God answer all of them? We simply can't picture it with our finite capacities. And so we dismiss it and come to the general conclusion that it cannot be. Why would the maker of all that there is listen to my earnest plea? It was George Santayana who said, "We do not reject God, but sadly bid him for farewell." The fallacy of this reasoning, though, is that we forget the requests are coming to God. Not some superhuman executive like Bruce, but to God. To God who numbers the hairs on your head. To God who notes the fall of a sparrow. The good shepherd who knows his sheep by name and they know his voice. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then it says, with God, all things are possible. But the fact is, the sheer demand of prayer makes it hard for us to believe that in the face of it all, God hears our prayers. There's another factor that makes it difficult as well. Many have a less personal view of God. We think of God as the God of the sun and of the planets, God who is somehow uninvolved in the cosmic matters. So the bottom line is our requests are not so much for God as they are beneath God. God is too big to pay attention to us. We can worship, we can adore God, but it is a bit too much to think that he would single any one of us out for personal attention. Both pictures of God being described here have one thing in common. There is no easy access because of sheer demand. There is no easy access to God because God is remote, busy with other things. We can follow the logic of this argument, but our hearts, yours and mine, they cry out for a different one. I will tell you that I have good news for you, because the biblical view of God is that God not only hears our prayers, but he is eager, eager to hear them. That is the testimony of human history and personal experience. But while our minds cannot comprehend how, somehow instinctively, we know that God hears our prayers. You can only come to the sense of certainty when you regularly practice the art of prayer, though. J. Oswald Sanders made a valid observation when he said, "A hurried glance at Christ snatched after lying abed too late will never affect a radical transformation of character." That's a lot of words, isn't it? That means you sleep in and you throw a few words to God. Yeah, don't expect it to change your life. Don't expect it. It's an art that must be practiced, and it's practiced every day. I know it is hard to believe that God is listening when we pray, but you keep on praying, and one day the sense of certainty comes to you. It will come. And secondly, because God is nearer than you know. He is always hearing our prayers because he is near us. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "We do not know what and how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs too deep for words." I've been your pastor long enough now to know some of the things that you've gone through, and I know that you have expressed to God the things that are in your heart with sighs that are too deep. You cannot find the words. There are no words, but the sigh, it speaks to God. Prayer is not some long-distance call, but it is the Spirit of God living inside of you and me. And the longings that well up in your heart and mind, those impulses within us that cause us to look into God's face and to reach up for his hand and to discover that he is always looking at us and reaching out for us. Those impulses within us that are prompting the Holy Spirit of God in your heart and mind. Dr. Norman McLean, in his autobiography, tells the story of a teacher who had taught the pupils in the class how to recite the Apostles' Creed. And every morning, as part of the class, each one would have something that they would say of the Apostles' Creed. They each had a phrase. But one day, they got all the way through it, and they got right to one phrase, and something was missing. "Where is Charlie?" Nobody knew where he was. A little person raised her hand and said, "I'm sorry, but the one who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today." Yeah. Well, I will tell you, it's a great story, but friends, the Spirit of God is never absent from our lives. And unless we utterly reject God, He is never absent. He is always urging you and urging me to look into His face, always working, not to prompt us to pray, but to hear us when we pray. I remember the first trip that I took to New York City, I was just a high school student. It was ROTC. They put us on a boat and sent us all the way from Jacksonville to New York City. It was incredible. And I remember going into the United Nations building. It's really impressive, all the flags and everything. This was quite a while ago. And it was interesting, though, that in the entranceway, there is this huge pendulum. Have any of you ever seen this? Swings back very slowly. Do you know what powers that? That majestic gold pendulum in that entrance going back and forth? It is a hidden power. A power so immense and orderly that it moves the stars, keeps the planets on their courses, and almost without a thought swings that golden pendulum back and forth. But the eye can't see it. Don't forget that. It is the unseen hand of God on the helm of everything that is when He hears our prayers, friends, because He is so near. Well, does God hear our prayers? Of course He does. It's hard to believe it given the demands, though it almost seems beneath Him that He would take up time with you and with me. And He hears us because He's so near. But there's yet one third observation, and it is this. We find it difficult to believe that God hears us because we don't get what we ask for. That's really it, isn't it? That's where the rubber hits the road. Sometimes the answer to you and to me is no. Other times it is wait a while and be patient. And if you feel that you've been disappointed in prayer, let me remind you that Jesus Christ Himself did not have all His prayers answered either. And the darkest night of His life, He said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." Guess what? The cup did not pass. The table of Holy Communion reminds us of that fact. Somewhere I read, "Keep praying, but be thankful that God's answers are wiser than your prayers." I've lived long enough. I've suffered enough defeat in my life, faced up to my own need of grace to come to the point of saying, "Thank God. Thank God that some of my prayers were not answered." The disappointment was intense at the time, but thank God for unanswered prayer in my life. W.H. Auden was not known for his religious intensity or fervor, yet he wrote a prayer for a secular man. Listen to what he was for a secular man. He put it this way: "O God, put away justice and truth, for we cannot understand them and we do not want them. Eternity would bore us terribly. Leave the heavens and come down to our earth, become our uncle. Look after a baby, amuse grandfather, help Willie with his homework, introduce Muriel to a handsome naval officer, be interesting and weak like us, and we will love you as we love ourselves." Yeah. A God like Auden prayed to would never disappoint us, nor would He ever enrich and inspire us. There would be no challenge for growth, but merely an indulgent parent refusing to give direction to a petulant and spoiled child. Does God hear us when we pray? Yes, He does. You can depend on it. It is hard for us to believe until we remember that He is near enough to know what is best for you and for me, and His desire for our highest prompts Him sometimes to say, "No." Be patient. So as we come to the conclusion of this sermon, I want to say that we need to encourage one another. And one of the best ways that we can do is through our prayers. One of the great biblical scholars of the 20th century was William Barclay. And one of the things that touched me the most about him was how he prayed. They were the most encouraging prayers I ever experienced. It was so typical because Barclay once said, "One of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at man's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another." At any time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a person on their feet. Blessed is the one who speaks a word of encouragement. It's so easy to be critical, to cut down, to be disloyal, but it is our duty as Christians to encourage one another. And one of the best ways to do this is in prayer. I ask for and I covet and I need your prayers for me and for every staff member at this church every single day. And I will assure you that you are always in the circle of my prayers. You know, one of the easiest ways to love another person is to pray for them. You can't dislike or hate or feel malice towards another person if you are actively praying for that person. God hears our prayers when we pray for each other in the ministry of encouragement. Lord George MacLeod, the former moderator of the Church of Scotland, was a remarkable Christian leader. His principal ministry was the restoration of the Iona community. And he shared a story one time that I'll never forget. It's been published in some books and periodicals, but this is the story. A young man came every day at noontime. He would enter into the church just for a moment to kneel before the altar, and then he would leave. Every day he came. And this went on for months and months and months. And the priest of the church noted how brief his devotions were when he knelt at the altar. And finally, he asked him, he said, "Why do you stay such a short time?" And the young man replied, "Well, my lunch is only an hour, and I have to be back at work, so I can't stay very long." And so the priest pressed him. He said, "Well, what do you say in such a short time?" And the young man replied, "I say, 'Jesus, it's Jimmy.' And then I leave." And the priest was touched. And some months later, noted that he had not seen the young man for a while. And so he sent a message on to his desk and said someone was sick and got a message and he needed him. And so he went to the room and he was surprised that it was the young man and he was very, very ill. So he, the same one who had paused before the altar, and it was obvious that he was not long for the world. And the priest stood by the bed and later reported that he felt a presence there. And he was certain that he heard a voice say, "Jimmy, it's Jesus." We are here today, together, to speak our words of prayer to God. And perhaps we will hear, "Marilyn, Charlie, Debbie, Kathy, Kim, it's Jesus. Pray for that." I want to end this time together with the words of a beautiful hymn that unfortunately didn't make it into the Presbyterian hymn book. I don't know, because they never asked me. So, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engaged the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his words and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. May it be so. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you are eager, eager to hear our prayers, and that you promised, "I am with you always." With that assurance, we give our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.